Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Weefald. It's August 13th, 2008. The commission is meeting today in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol here in Bismarck, North Dakota. With me are my fellow two commissioners, Commissioner Kevin Kramer and Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, any opening comments?
Good morning and welcome.
Commissioner Clark.
Good morning. Welcome. Move items in consent.
Second.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye. Next, we'll go to the items in the regular agenda. And the first item is SW1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in the joint application for transfer of corridor certificate number 92 and route permit number 102 from Florida Power and Light FPL Energy Oliver County Wind LLC to FPL Energy Oliver County Wind 1 LLC, case number PU08241.
Second.
Basically, what this is the company Florida Power and Light FPL is requesting to have their PCNN, they're actually not their PCNN, their quarter certificate number 92 and their route permit number 102. Transferred from one company to another subsidiary within their organization. And those interested are invited to comment on this application in writing, and persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing, and comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 15, 2008, and if appropriate, the commission can determine this matter without a hearing. And it's the issues to be considered in this matter are whether Oliver Wind 1 agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of the siting certificates and permits currently issued to Oliver Wind, and whether the requested certificate and permit transfers are compatible with the public interest.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. SW2. Where is that? That's been withdrawn. Okay, fine. SW3. These are fuel cost adjustment announcements. MDU increased its electric fuel cost adjustment by 0.329 cents per kilowatt hour from 0.710 cents per kilowatt hour. As a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will increase by $2.73 for bills rendered in the month of August. The cost of fuel this month is 2.342 cents per kilowatt hour. For Otter Tail, the cost of their fuel for the month of August is 2.17 cents per kilowatt hour. As a result of the changes, the electric bill for a typical Otter Tail residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by $1.80 for bills rendered in the month of August. And that's continuing a downward trend for Otter Tail, which is good for Otter Tail customers. This is a good fuel cost adjustment this month. As a result of the changes for the Northern States Power Company, their fuel cost of fuel this month will be 2.961 cents per kilowatt hour. And as a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical NSP residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours will decrease by 42 cents for bills rendered in the month of August. So in this particular month, Otter Tail by far has the lowest fuel cost adjustment, which is good news for Otter Tail customers. That does not end the items in my portfolio. SW4, I move the commission award a contract to Hanson's Excavating, Inc. for the maintenance, 2008 maintenance sinkholes 3 AML project that involves sinkhole filling at several abandoned underground mines in Williams County.
Second.
This was previously discussed. We had talked about an intent to award a contract. There have been no protests, and so now today we are awarding the contract at Hanson's Excavating.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that ends the items in my portfolio, and we'll next go to Commissioner Kramer.
Thanks. And I will combine KC1 and KC3 because those are cost of gas adjustment announcements, and KC3 just came in today, so we had it added. This is the first time we've been able to say this for a while. Great Plains is decreasing its cost of gas charge to residential customers by $2.78 per 1,000 cubic feet compared to last month. The cost of gas in the bill will change from $14.42 per MCF to about $11.63 per MCF. And for typical residential consumption in August, the cost of gas in the bill will be about $5.02 lower than last month, but remains $6.69 higher than August of last year. Likewise, NSP is decreasing the cost of gas by $3.82 per dekatherm compared to last month, and this will be applied for August customers. It changes residential customer cost of gas from $12.14 per dekatherm to $8.31, roughly, per dekatherm, and for a typical August consumer, the cost of gas in the bill will be about $4.21 lower than last month and $1.95 higher than August of last year. And MDU is decreasing its cost of gas charge by $2.22 per dekatherm. The cost of gas charge will be applied in September. The cost of gas charge will change from $11.26 roughly to $9.04. For a typical September customer, the cost of gas will be about $8.88 lower than last month and about $15.33 higher than September of last year. Of course, we've noticed that the commodity cost of oil has been dropping over the last several days and a couple of weeks. That's obviously good. There's an increased volume in storage and a little bit of relief just happening as a result of the slowing economy. There's anticipation that demand will be down, and all of those things lend themselves to lower commodity costs.
Okay.
Casey, I do have one more. Casey, right. 2. I move the commission approve self-bond number SB950031 and collateral bond number CB95031 filed by the Falkirk Mining Company to replace surety bonds for the consolidated bond area covering 3 mining permits at the Falkirk Mine.
Second.
Basically what has happened is Falkirk has filed self and collateral bonds to replace surety bonds. We know that the cost of surety bonds is very, very high. Because of Falkirk's relationship with their customer, Great River Energy, and Great River now meeting the financial status, or I guess the bonding rating that allows them to be a third-party guarantor, they're able to replace the surety bond with this collateral and self-bond. So the previously $46 million surety bond will be replaced by a roughly $41,600,000 collateral bond, self-bond, and then a collateral bond then of the other 10%, which is the requirement of roughly $4,600,000, which comes in the form of check that's put into a escrow account at the Bank of North Dakota. So everything seems to be in order, and I'm glad that everybody's able to meet this. And I think it implies certainly means significant savings for the company and consequently customers and consequently the end user. Mm-hmm. So good work.
Did I just had one question. Mm-hmm. Did the check come in yesterday for the $4 million?
It did.
Okay, that's very good. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
As far as we know, it cleared. We would have heard had it not.
That'll be on next week's
agenda. Yeah, right.
All right. And next we'll go to Commissioner Clark.
Item TC1, I move the commission adopt the order granting Quest Corporation's request for a block of 1,000 numbers in the Bismarck Rate Center, case number PU08434. In certain cases, Quest or other incumbent companies can apply to the commission where they have been turned down by NuStar Pooling Administration System, NuStar, it goes by, which is the administrator for the numbering system in North America and North Dakota. Under certain circumstances, according to FCC rules, NuStar will deny a carrier's request to open up a new block of numbers with a new, what they call NXX code, which is the three numbers that precede the last four in a local dialing pattern. The commission in North Dakota and in other states has the ability to waive these requirements if certain criteria are met. One of the criteria which can be met to allow us to waive the rules is that if there is a verifiable need due to the specific customer request for numbering resources in a given rate center that the carrier is unable to satisfy with its current inventory. That's the case in this particular instance. Basin Electric has asked Quest for a block of numbers, continuously numbered numbers with within a 1,000-block pool, and Quest does not have that 1,000-block pool available right now. Basin indicates that what it is wishing to do is both plan for growth as they add new numbers, new offices, but also to consolidate all of their operations within one NXX code. Currently, Basin has their operations spread out throughout a number of Bismarck NXX codes like 355, 255, 221. What they'll be doing here is consolidating all their existing ones into one block of numbers. They'll be returning the numbers that they currently have to the pool. So really, from a kind of a net standpoint, it significantly reduces the impact that approving this request would have on the numbering resources themselves, because they will be returning those numbers to the pool.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE08613, granting the request of Dakota Dry Bean, Inc. to operate a 35,000-bushel grain warehouse at Lansford, North Dakota, effective August 1st, 2008. This results in a license application which was filed with the commission to operate this 35,000-bushel warehouse. It's a new facility. It'll be used to receive dry peas, and they will be operational year-round. They've met all the requirements. I recommend approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE08637, acknowledging the automatic discontinuance of business as a public grain warehouse for Quarter Circle Y Company, DBA Heifer Feed at Selfridge, North Dakota, effective August 1st, 2008, for failure to file a license application renewal in a timely manner. The commission staff contacted Quarter Circle Y Company, DBA Heifer Feed, because there was not a license renewal that was received at our license renewal time. So effective August 1st, 2008, that is automatically discontinued. The member of our staff who talked to Heifer Feed received indications that the elevator had been sold to a local farmer and that the license would not be renewed. There apparently is, I guess it doesn't say it on here, but we don't have any indication that there's any outstanding storage liability. So, recommend approval.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. TC4, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE08639, granting the request of Landa Cooperative Elevator Company, Souris, North Dakota, to discontinue business at Landa, North Dakota, effective August 1st, 2008.
Second.
Again, the warehouse has been closed. There are no outstanding storage obligations.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items on my portfolio.
The commission has an informal hearing scheduled this afternoon at 1:30, and two matters will be considered at that time. One is on proposed changes to river crossing involving the Keystone Pipeline, and the other involves MDU and their proposed PCNN application for the energy facility that's going to be using waste heat off of the Northern Border Pipeline. The commission does have one announcement today. We are unveiling today our online searchable database. This has been under construction at the commission for quite some time, and we're very pleased about this because not only will it allow our staff to more easily locate cases, but now the public can now access case information easier than ever before with this online searchable database. The database is becoming part of our commission's website as a way to improve public access to commission cases dating back to the year 2000, and the searchable database is located www.pscstatendus. It allows users to search by case number, date, description, type, and company involved. I believe that this is one of the most important improvements to public access of commission records since I became a commissioner in 1993, and this database will provide the public with instant access to many of our case files without having to contact us to ask for copies. My fellow commissioners may have some comments about this as well, and then we'll ask Steve Call to give just a very brief demonstration. And I know it will be helpful to industry as well, who are represented today in the room as well. So, my fellow commissioners, any comments at this time?
Well, I'd just like to thank staff for the time and efforts in putting this together. It is a step forward, and just from an efficiency standpoint, I think it'll be a positive step, especially for consumers. It's the way that everything is going, e-government. And I think really from a commission standpoint, we've probably, with limited resources, have done about as well as most, if not more than most, within the country as far as being ahead of the curve and things like web streaming our meetings and really all of our meetings. And this is just one more step in that evolution of the things that we're doing to be as open and accessible as we can. And I think really without patting ourselves on the back too hard or breaking arms in doing so, the commission probably does better than many or most in state government in being very accessible to the public. And part of it's probably by necessity. We're a little bit of an interesting creature in that we're an agency that has three heads. So anytime any two of us are talking, it's an open meeting, and we have to be just that much more cognizant and aware that we're a very open agency. But it's also a lot of effort and concerted effort on behalf of the commission and staff. So thanks to all who contributed to it.
Well, transparency of government is a pretty rich tradition in North Dakota, and I think both Tony and Susan are right in that. I think here at the PSC, quite honestly, we do it as well or better than anybody in state government. North Dakota does it quite well. North Dakota does it quite well, but I think we are among the best of the best in that regard, somewhat because of we are a commission, but at the same time, I think because we've had a heightened awareness of it, somewhat perhaps because we're a regulatory body and we're used to looking out for regulations. So we're a little more sensitive perhaps to it. But all of that said, it still takes good people and smart staff and dedicated staff to not only make the information available, but to make it easily accessible. And that's oftentimes the challenge when you're dealing with the volumes of data and information and cases that we're dealing with. It's not quite as sexy as a tourism website, but it's no less important. So thanks, Steve, and to everybody who worked on it.
Took a lot of work. Go ahead, Steve.
See if I can steal a microphone. Essentially, if you go to the commission's website,
I don't think your mic is on.
Yeah, it actually is.
Okay, you just need to have it up by your face.
If you go to the commission's website, right off the front page, you will see one of the titles being Formal Actions. If you go to Formal Actions, you will see online case information. Clicking that will take you to a page where you have the ability to read the instructions for the application and also to begin searching for a specific case. If you search for a specific case, you have any number of things you can search by. Obviously, you can search by the commission's case number. You can search by any entity associated with the case. You can search by descriptions or by case type, the date it was filed, the date it was closed, the status of the case, whether it's an open case or closed case, and a number of other ways of looking at the information. If you pick any given case, in this case, I'm going to select something from our Public Utilities Division. You will see all of the cases that are currently open for public utilities. And you can page through them. You can also search for any information you want. I'm just going to pick one at random and see where we go.
He's tapping because we're not going anywhere right that minute, but maybe he'll... Okay, there we go.
A little slow coming up. That will allow you to see all documents currently filed in that case. In this case, there appear to be 23 documents in that case. You can see a description of what that docket entry is, who filed it, and the date it was filed, and the number of pages, and whether or not it was certified to court. Looking
at
any
people like John Morrison, who's sitting in the room, certified to court. Mm-hmm.
Any given item that you look at, you can see the actual files, the I picked one that is not available for public viewing, but you can see the files that actually make up that docket entry. And in the cases where it is available, like I should have picked it better. I'm going to have to find a keyboard. If you find one where the files are actually available for public viewing, it will actually bring up the actual file. It will let you read whatever was filed. You can print it. The other nice thing about this is you can search for any given keyword within the document itself. They are all in Adobe format, so that they should be pretty much universally viewable. And as you can see, it is all text that is searchable and copyable. So that is a brief look at the docketing system.
And the commission recognizes that there are documents that are not yet available, and that's why in our press release we have said that we're encouraging the commission, if they need assistance in finding documents in a specific case or for documents that are not available online, then the commission will still help to make those available.
Correct. And the other nice feature is if you do happen to pick a, and now when I want one that isn't available, I can't find one.
These are all available.
Not available in
50. Yeah. Back up.
I'm glad to see that those are all available.
That's encouraging.
There we go. You do get a useful message if they are not available, telling you how to contact the commission for a copy. And you can do that either via email or through a telephone number at this point.
Okay.
So that is a brief overview of the online case system. It is very flexible. It's very easy to use, but it is also very powerful. So for first-time users, it's pretty self-explanatory. If you use it a lot and need to do very specific searches for things, all of the query systems are very flexible. So I encourage you to go give it a try and give us some feedback on how you like it.
Because the commission is still willing to make improvements as we get suggestions from the public about the system. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Steve. And there, I don't believe that there will be any questions today because we don't have any news media present at this meeting. So the commission at this time will adjourn for 10 minutes and we'll do our signing and come back at 20 minutes to 11 for our administrative agenda. Thank you.